Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
The term sudden death can mean several different things. For example, if in athletics, perhaps football, you come to the end of the game, the time runs out, the quarter ends, and you've got a tie, then they have sudden death where they add some time, and depending on if you're in college or high school or the pros, you have guidelines of how to play out the rest of the game to break the tie to see who wins. And when that happens, you have a winner and you have a loser, at least for that game. Another way that we are all familiar with sudden death is when someone suddenly dies. God says in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. We just don't know when it is. Now, sometimes we've had loved ones that have been sick for a while, and it may not be that we're surprised that they die, but even when we have loved ones that have been sick for a while, you never know. But in particular, most of us probably in this room have experienced someone that we loved or we were close to or worked with, went to school with, church, that died suddenly. Life is here today and gone tomorrow. And when that happens, there's those that win and there's those that lose. Now, let me say this. Those that lose are those that have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They've never admitted their sin. They've never believed on Jesus, who is the only way to heaven. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And they've never confessed him as Savior and Lord. Romans 10:9-11, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. They've just never done that. And regardless of how bad or how good they may have lived their life, if they've never put their faith in Christ, then they will not go to heaven. That's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's the one unpardonable sin that I know of in the Bible. But the good news is you're here today, or you're listening, or you're watching, and so you can make the important decision today to put your faith in Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So let's focus on the other for most of the rest of the time. And that's for those that are in the body of Christ and someone they know by faith has put their faith and trust in Christ, but they're suddenly gone. I would put it like this, and if you've seen the title, you know this is the way that I've kind of titled this. When you get the knock at the door in the middle of the night, I have learned of sudden deaths for years in my lifetime. I was exposed to some of this as a preacher's kid, and then as a family member at 12, both my grandfathers died within a year of each other. And then in junior high, I had some friends that had accidents and suddenly died. And then my dad at 26. And then as a pastor and a youth minister before that, I've been a part of death in a lot of different ways, just like many of you have. Now, let me say this. My spouse has not died, and I've never had a child to die. I cannot imagine. So I don't speak to you this morning from having those experiences, but I have had a lot of others. And so about 2 years ago, I'd had a knock or a phone call because of church members before in the middle of the night. But 2 years ago, we were in Florida. Kelly was out of town with family, and I was there in our place, and I woke up startled. It was about 3 in the morning with a knock, not just at the door, but on the window. And when you, if you've been through that before, it's, you're just, you know, you're kind of dazed. You don't know exactly what's going on. And so I went to the door, and Kelly had called a neighbor that we knew well, and the neighbor wasn't there, but that neighbor called another neighbor that we didn't know at all, and that neighbor was the one at the door and said to me, said, "Hey, I know you don't know me, but I'm a neighbor, so-and-so call me. You need to call your wife." It's like, okay. And so I called my wife, and she shared with me that my middle sister, I had two older sisters, my middle sister, my older one had passed within about a year of that, and she, Karen, had had an accident out by the reservoir spillway, and she had passed. And so it was kind of a, it was a surreal experience for me. And I want us today to look at John chapter 11 to try to glean some comfort, some truth, some peace for when those times may come in the future or the reality of what's gone on in the last week. I have a goal of trying to turn in my outline by Wednesday at noon. And so in the providence of God, some things have happened since then in our own community. We've already mentioned them. We have become aware of some other things that have occurred. Roland Lee, who's been very sick, longtime church member, we got word this morning that he passed. I found out that some of you in our church have friends, at least one person I know, that passed. You have Troy that passed. I found out yesterday Coach Bill Moose Perry, who coached at Forest Hill for years in Mississippi College for a while, he passed yesterday. He'd been real, real sick. He touched a lot of lives for the Lord, Coach Perry. And so the place we go to try to understand the sovereignty of God is God's Word. We pray over it, we read it, we try to understand it, and we pull out applications for life. And so in this passage, this is where Jesus learned of Lazarus' death. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, believers in Christ, friends of Jesus. And here it just almost seems that Jesus gets a knock at the door. Now, he's omniscient. He knows everything. But he gets a word that the one he loved, Lazarus, had passed. He doesn't panic. He doesn't begin to worry like sometimes I do, and maybe you're guilty of from time to time, being anxious, not trusting, something suddenly happening, thinking, man, I never thought this would happen to me. And he shows us, I believe, how to react, how to think, how to ponder when you get the knock at the door or you find out that someone that you love and you care for has suddenly died. Now, let's look at John chapter 11, the first four verses, and I'll refer to other passages in this particular text as we walk through the principles. John chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now, folks, you just ponder that just for a minute. You can tell there's an extra close relationship. They had experiences together. They had worshiped God together. They had laughed together. They had cried together. They had these memories. And so they're sending word to Jesus and say, "The one you loved is really, really sick." When he heard this, verse 4, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, I want you to listen to me just for a minute, because I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from. When I got the knock at the door, just like some of you, you've heard the phrase, when it rains, it pours. And I've shared this with you, even mentioned it last week. There was a period of time right when Karen died, right before, a little after, where I had my other sister, my brother-in-law, my father-in-law, two uncles, a couple of friends, some church members that had died, and I had done my older sister's funeral, my brother-in-law's funeral, and I wasn't quite sure, as we were driving this way from Florida, if they might ask me to do the funeral. I did not ask to do the others, but when I was asked, I obviously, you know, said, "Lord, help me," and trusted and did my best. So on the way here, I was praying it just in case they asked me. And so what I'm about to do is preach a funeral sermon that I've never preached, because I jotted down these main points. I looked at this passage and others, and in the providence of God, they ask Karen's campus pastor there at Pine Lake Reservoir to do the funeral. He did a beautiful job. And though I was, you know, would have been willing, I was fine with sitting right there by Kelly. But I kept the outline. I thought maybe I'll share it some other time. So basically, that's where the major points come from, and I want to share these things with you as I share them with myself, because they're based on God's word and other texts that I'll share to help us when someone suddenly passes. What do we do with that? How do we handle it? Even if we've been through it before and a time and time again, how do we know we're going to be able to handle it? My prayer is that this helps somebody today. Here's the first thing I want us to consider. If you have your worship guide, there's an outline right there. There's not a bad time to be in heaven. I started thinking about that. I thought, well, Karen's a Christian, and it's tragic that she had the wreck, and evidently she lost her life pretty suddenly. And I thought, you know what? There's never a bad time to be in heaven. You look at verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection, the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? In other words, those that die in Christ will be more alive than ever before. I've often said, think of the greatest moment you've had, the greatest experience you've had, the most beautiful scene you've seen, the most wonderful trip or celebration or party you've had. And if it was wonderful in Christ, multiply that over and over and over again. And we might be a little bit close to what heaven will be like forever and ever and ever. And I read this recently. Great description. Here's what they said. Think about the most mind-blowing architecture you've ever laid eyes on, the most incredible city you've ever visited, or go back in your life for a moment and remember golden moments, some of the best and most beautiful times you've had with family and friends. These are tiny keyhole glimpses of heaven, because heaven is not an imitation of earth. Earth is an imitation of heaven. In the book of Hebrews, the author speaks of earthly things as a shadow and heaven as the reality in chapter 10 of Hebrews in verse 1. The very, very best that you have ever experienced on this earth or ever will experience will be vastly better in heaven. Jesus defeated death on the cross. He knew He didn't have to use his imagination that Lazarus was fine, and in the sovereignty of God, he would use this experience to bring glory to God. And even though my immediate family beat me to heaven, I'll see him again. And so will you, for when we all get to heaven, what a day it will be. I can only imagine. Scars in heaven. Have you ever heard that song? It can be tender. By casting crowns, scars in heaven. Here's one of the lines. The only scars in heaven are the hands that hold me now. There is no bad time to be in heaven. Our loved ones in Christ, they're doing great. They're doing great. Secondly, there's not a bad time to experience God's grace. Mary and Martha, though they may not have fully understand and realize it, they were experiencing the grace of God. Have you, probably you have, been through a tragedy, a sudden death of a loved one, and God gave you peace. He poured out his grace for you. You may not have fully understood it then, but you look back on it and you realize, man, God helped me and he gave me what I needed, not before, but exactly when I need it. Sometimes we think, man, I've been through this tragedy, but I can't imagine going through what you've been through. I can't imagine going through this. And yeah, it might be hard, but God gives us grace when we need it. Not before. He gives it to us exactly the right time. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, the Apostle Paul had the thorn in his flesh, and he's wrestling with God over this difficult time. He says, my grace, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is why we must trust. This is why we must keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of the storm when the waves of difficulty are coming. Tozer once said, it's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he's hurt him deeply. Meaning this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And when we are broken and we say, dear God, I never dreamed I would be in this place. We are seeking God. We're falling down on our knees. We're asking him to help us because the pain and the grief is so hard. We can't take it. And God is close to the brokenhearted. And it allows us and gives us the opportunity to go to a whole nother level. Though we don't understand it than we would have before. Because that's the kind of God that we have. Some of the finest Christians I've ever met are those that have been broken and have gone through tragedy, usually multiple tragedies. There's not a bad time to experience God's grace. And he'll give it to us when we need it. Thirdly, there's not a bad time to be encouraged. In verse 19, they were being comforted by others that believed in God. As we were driving this way, and I had recently been through some different deaths with family members and loved ones and buddies, I constantly said, I cannot imagine going through this without the body of Christ, without brothers and sisters in Christ, without a church family, without churches from the past that I've been a part of, just like many of you. There's never a bad time to be encouraged. Hebrews 10:25 said, that's why we come together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but encourage one another until you see the day approaching. We pray for one another, and that's another reason we assemble. Not because we know everything and we've got everything together. It's not a country club for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. That's what the church is. We need one another. And I'm telling you, I've received great encouragement through the years when someone close to me has died, and many of you have and are now. I've witnessed it as a pastor. I've watched churches respond. Listen, I'm seeing it again now at East Haven. You've got another evangelical church who's lost a loved one. And I've listened to what our lay people and some of our leaders are doing. How can we help? We've hosted experiences like this. We've been through some things. Please let us know how we can help. And one of the things that they've said is we need several hundred chairs. We have some people in our church that's going to assist those from over there that are coming to borrow some chairs. There's never a bad time to be encouraged. That's the body of Christ. We need one another. And I'm telling you this, when you're going through hurt and pain, it's not so much what a person said, it's the fact that they were present and they were there in some shape, form, or fashion. And you don't forget it. It's special. Number four. And with Karen's funeral, I saw that. There's not a bad time to be reminded of the brevity of life. Sudden death, when someone dies suddenly, has a way of kind of shaking us up and reminding us how brief life is. Missed today, gone tomorrow. And it helps us reevaluate, if we take long enough, to realize that life is so fleeting and we need to maybe reevaluate our priorities. Someone has said every minute someone leaves this world behind. Age has nothing to do with it. We are all in the line without knowing it. We never know how many people are before us. We cannot move to the back of the line. We cannot step out of the line. We cannot avoid the line. So while we wait in line, make moments count. Make priorities. This is where I think of the phrase that I've shared with you, which is something that I believe is important. You take God seriously, but you don't take yourself too seriously. You see, when we are in Christ, He wants us to abide in Him, grow in Him, spend time with Him, mature in Him, get alone with Him. If you abide in me and I in you, John 15, you will bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. He wants to be our best friend, our closest friend, and we go through difficulty. Man, we can go to a whole nother level. Our time alone personally and our relationship, our walk with Christ is the greatest thing we could ever experience on earth. It's it. It's what it's about. Jesus. And so, in Christ, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love others as yourself. Let's go back. Remember that. In Christ, we have intentional growth and fulfilled calling. That's what I think about when I start thinking about priorities. Man, I'm only here for a short amount of time. Could be I'm in the beginning of the fourth quarter, though we don't know when it'll be. And so I want to, like many of you, when it happens, is see Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Like we just talked to Him because we can. And we've celebrated and we sing with Him and we pray with Him and intentionally grow spiritually. Intentionally be a part of the body of Christ. And none of us are perfect. No church is perfect. But to try to grow in different ways. Be intentional. And then I believe as a believer and as we grow, God gives us a calling. Some of you have been called to be a salesperson. Some of you are in the banking world. Some of you are in the teaching or coaching profession. Some of you have been called to vocational ministry. Some of you are physicians. We are all called of God, and we need to understand what that calling is and do our best every day. Because He's boss. The Lord is. And we want to make the most of our time here. And so we take that seriously. It's not something to be flippant about. Now let's go to the other. Loving people, relationships, enjoying life. I like to have fun. You may not have noticed that. I like to mess with folks. The more comfortable I am with you, the more that I see how crazy some of you are, the more likely I am to mess with you. That's part of the reason when I was sensing God calling me the ministry, though my dad liked to have fun too, I guess I felt like I was at a whole nother level. And I thought, Lord, I don't know about this. And so what I do and what I try to do, and I know I go overboard sometimes, is I do take my faith seriously. And I do take my calling seriously. And if you could talk to Kelly and my family and some others, I really do. Sometimes I might be overly passionate about it. But on the other side, I do like to have fun. I like to make memories because life is fleeting. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says laughter is like good medicine. I grew up with parents that loved to laugh and have fun. I grew up in a neighborhood in Kosciuszko where people messed with each other. I had some wonderful teachers. And then went on to other schools that taught me more. And so I have told Kelly whenever I die at the funeral, I want an all-you-can-eat barbecue buffet for everybody. I mean, I want there to be fun. I hadn't quite decided what I want to wear in my casket and all that stuff. You know, I got some ideas. My wife just said, move on. I just, like, let me tell you just a few things that happened this week. In the midst of some serious moments and discussions and meetings and all that, one of the things that I'm going to be doing in a couple of months, pray for me, is I'm going on my first mission trip with Phil, Brother Phil. I know. Brother Phil, people are praying for me. Immediately they started praying for me, which I'm grateful. And he's been saying, you need to take this test. I'm saying, a test? I thought I was through with tests. You got the IMB requires you to take this test. You need to take the test. You need to take the test. Okay, I'll take the test. So I took the test, the quiz, the pop quiz this week. And so I sent him a text with someone else that's going on the trip. I said, man, Brother Phil, I took the test and I failed it. And he's an easy target. I love to mess with him. And he was so compassionate. Man, you should have gone slow. He started doing all this stuff. I said, I'm messing with you. With a big smiley face. Memories. Now, we've had some serious moments, as I have with other people and staff and you have with your family and friends. But it's those moments you remember. Relationships. Take God seriously, but enjoy life. Last night, I gathered at Joel Waters' house over in the Madison area, and we got together our baseball team from Clinton High back in blah, 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 many years ago. 1978. We were all seniors except for Joel, and I think he failed a year, though they said that he was held back. I think he failed. We all started, and all nine of us, one's gone to heaven. He rotated with a guy in right field. One's gone in. But all nine of us were there for the first time since May of 1978 with the both coaches. We get together from time to time, but this time everybody was able to be there, and the two coaches were there. We had just the two coaches. Man, we had a good time. And I especially had a good time. So Joel's moved in this house, and he has what he calls a safe room. And it's like that big freezer back there that you can get locked in if you're not careful. A That thing scares me. I don't go back there by myself. It's one of those things. It's this closet. It's like, man, this is when a tornado comes, you know. And, I mean, whatever. If you got that, that's good. And he was showing me that, and there were some others there. But I noticed he's like the president of the concrete company. Now, that just fits him. He's president of this concrete company. And he's got all these polo-type shirts with the concrete company truck and all that on them. I thought, man, he doesn't need all those shirts. So I grabbed about 8-10 of them and took them out and started giving them out to all the team members. Yeah, I'm keeping this one. This is the one I like. And Joel is not, you usually can't mess with him, but I'm telling you, there was a look of panic on his face. And I watched him as I put him down by everybody. And one of the coaches thought I was serious. He was pumped. He's like, man, thank you. He was thanking me for giving him one of Joel's shirts. Before it was over with, Joel had picked up all those shirts and rushed them by. Y'all, life is short. The brevity of life. Take God seriously. Man, when this happens, we just have to lean in even more. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But don't miss the moments. Making memories. Number 5, there's not a bad time to celebrate Jesus. When you come together and you celebrate life, or you have a funeral of a believer, wow. There's nothing like it. It's really something. Listen to this in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. So, at the reunion, we laughed. I think a few times there were some tears. We'd not been together. There was chemistry when we were teammates. It just picked back up. It was there. It was like we'd never left. We're all a lot different. We have different career paths, churches. Some don't go to church. We're all together. And we had a great time. You've been to reunions before. Maybe you have a team like that or a group. Maybe it was a family reunion. Maybe it was a class reunion. Maybe it was just some buds you were close to and you had some kind of reunion. And those reunions can be really good and special and great and fun. But they do not come close to the reunion we'll have with our loved ones when we get there. My Father's house, there are many mansions. If not so, I'd have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself that where I am, there you may be also. No matter how great our reunions can be, jot and tittle, just multiply it. And I'm telling you, it'll happen quick. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to be great. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can't even fathom. We can only just try to look at what God's word says and look at these illustrations. It's going to be wonderful. And we're going to pick back up. I believe the Bible teaches that. With Jesus, with loved ones, with people in the Bible. I can't imagine. I can only imagine. I can't imagine. But in the meantime, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill and destroy. That's the enemy. But Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to live the Christ life and enjoy it. Even when we go through tragedy, we have to trust Him and to keep taking those steps. Say, Lord, I trust You. Lord, help me. So when or if the knock on the door has come, remember, Jesus loved Lazarus. He said, though you die, you live. And He worked in ways that Mary and Martha didn't see coming. Even though your loved one may have died, just know He's got you. He's going to help you. Keep trusting Him and believe. Lord, there's some folks in our area and maybe in the room or listening on the radio. They're just hurting. So, Lord, I pray this passage has encouraged them and helped them to keep on this journey called the Christian life. We thank You, Lord, as we sang about hope, that You are our hope. Regardless of how difficult it may be in our family right now, in our church family, at our job, in our classroom. God, there might be a student here today that's really struggling because of what happened in class their first week. So Jesus, I pray You'll provide peace today and direction and assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.